August the 18th, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble, Terry Tackett for hour number two of On the Air Today. And we had a nice uninvited but not unwelcome guest in hour number one, out of the blue there.
From Boston.
From Boston. Now, what's the Barstool podcast?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called in. Now, I'm guessing he must have known we were live. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. Don't want to make an assumption.
I was surprised he called back.
Yeah, he did call back. Well, I cut him off the first time because I thought, does he know we're on the air? Yeah. A lot of people call in and they don't realize they're on the air. And
yeah, and he was using his radio voice.
He was using his radio voice. But he apparently, we haven't got to this topic, so we'll go here. You know, last Friday on this show, I had on Bill Cosby. His first real interview since being let out of prison, and it made a lot of news. It apparently it got to Boston. It was in the USA Today and the Columbus Dispatch. And
I think he was jealous, and that's why he called you.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I'm not sure what he wanted me to say there.
Sorry.
Did he even ask me to be a guest? I mean, I'm not even sure what that was that we just did.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, dude. Now he needs to pay you, doesn't he, if you were a guest?
Well, I would think so, because I don't really understand. He never did say, he said, can I ask you a question, I think, but he didn't say, can I interview you and take up your time?
No.
Is that how he does interviews?
It must be.
Must be. Well, there you go.
I was shocked. When he first called in, I thought, this is somebody that's trying to pretend like they're a radio announcer. That's what he sounded like. And then you cut him off, and I thought, well, that was kind of brave, Scott.
Well, I didn't know if he knew that he was on the air, and I did not recognize the number.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a Boston number. Boston. Yeah. Boston.
So, Terry, what'd you make of the whole spiel, Bill Cosby and the whole bit?
Well, I mean, myself, I've seen several interviews of different figures that have had, like, trouble like that, and a lot of times those questions aren't addressed with interviews from reporters and things or news people and things like that, just because they have that mindset ahead of time that A, the person that's doing the interview, you know, there's some sort of either their manager or public or something has said they're not going to answer these questions, or they're still pending litigation that they can't ask these questions.
And if you jump in and say, I'm going to ask you, or I would like to know why you raped those women.
Exactly.
All it's going to do is make an embarrassing silence, and then he's going to hang up on you.
Exactly.
Well, I guess my question is really at the center of this is not so much Bill Cosby, but if you are accused or convicted or whatever of a crime in America, should you not be given airtime? Because I guess I'm confused on why Charles Manson was ever on the air. I'm confused at why the Ku Klux Klan was ever on the air. I'm confused at why Tanya Harding was ever on the air. I'm confused at why O.J. Simpson has ever been put on the air.
Jeffrey Dahmer,
the Menendez brothers. I guess I'm confused because I thought people, and there's a whole slew of other people, by the way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
John Lennon's killer.
Well, from a sports standpoint, you got why was Tyson? You know,
Tyson's been in prison for rape.
Michael Vick.
Yeah. That's a good question. You know, Mike Tyson was convicted of rape and served a prison sentence. Now, does everybody ask him about that?
I don't think I've ever heard him ask about
right.
that. Yeah, because it's a known fact. And he's not going to answer, just like your interview with
exactly
with Cosby.
Exactly.
So I guess I'm not sure why this one really got under people's skin.
You know, it gave me a higher respect for you, because I didn't know that you do that type of discussion with me all the time, and I thought, well, he's just smarter than I am. But no, you were actually smarter than this guy, too. And then he jumps in and asks you a question about somebody you did not interview.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what can you... I didn't know that was coming, and you got to be honest in why you did something.
Yeah.
And I do not believe that I should be taking opinions as a journalist about anything. I think the second you do that, it's over. You've alienated people, and they're not going to come on your show, and that's that.
Well, yeah, and if this station didn't have people like Terry or me or Adam that have different opinions, and both of our ministers that have different opinions. That's one thing. But we do, you try to do the news.
Well, and not for nothing, why did they call? Yeah. I don't remember them calling when Phyllis Diller was on. I don't remember them calling when Effie Bailey was on.
It was a gotcha call.
It sure was. And I guess it's comedy. Is that their show? I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a comedy thing. And, well, good for them.
Yeah.
Well, Boston now knows your name.
I'm big in Boston now.
Yeah. Hey, what's the opening to Cheers where everybody knows your name?
Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing to me because the day it appeared in the Dispatch, which I think was Saturday, on page 2, several Columbus media personalities message me to say, what a get.
And then Monday night when we did the school board, I bet 4 or 5 people came up to you and were loving it.
Well, yeah, everybody knows about it.
I mean,
now.
They said same thing. They were, you know, fist bumping and what a great get that was and, you know, wonderful, you know, and, you know, everybody. I know at least 4 or 5 people that...
Well, at the bottom of this, what I really don't understand is why does interviewing somebody rub off on you? That I really don't get.
Well, it shouldn't if you're doing it in a news manner. Now, it could rub off on me, like I'm interviewing somebody on a Progressive Life, and
but
I agree with them.
That's a different forum, though, Glenn. That's an editorial, right?
Right?
I mean,
absolutely.
But Scott doing the news, that's what he's supposed to interview.
They'll probably try to, I'm sure they're out there still listening.
Yeah.
So they can use a lot of this on their show, but... you know what? Truth be told, Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, who wouldn't want to interview them?
Oh, yeah.
A matter of fact, I mean, they don't you want to know why they did what they did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my question there, though, is, and I think this guy would have had a different response if you had asked Cosby, why did you do that? And you didn't ask that question. But... you knew you couldn't. You weren't allowed to.
Well, let me just put it this way. There was a lady up in Cleveland. I'll tell this very shortly. I bring her up all the time. Dorothy Fulltime.
Mm-hmm.
She was a legendary news person here in Ohio, and she became a national figure appearing on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show and Jack Parr's show and Donahue and Larry King. And she's got a historical marker outside of WEWS up in Cleveland. Well, guess what? On that historical marker, one of the first lines is, and every time they interviewed her on any of these national shows, she was on Nightline with Ted Koppel. The first thing they said was, a woman who has interviewed Adolf Hitler. Oh, well, gee whiz. Too bad when in Dorothy's day they didn't have barstool radio because she would have been just thrown all over the place.
Well, yeah, now, my question also would have been, why was he asking such aggressive questions if he wasn't trying to build himself up? And that's what I saw while he was talking to you. He was trying to not only get you, but he was trying to build himself up as being smarter than you.
Well, it was clear to me what his opinion was coming on,
yeah.
That I should have asked Bill Cosby about things that I knew I could not ask
and
Bill Cosby about.
Yeah, you responded, you weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
That you could have hung up there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. But, you know, it is odd to me, the world that we live in now. I guess journalists should have opinions. I should judge you before you come on.
You're always... I don't care what anybody says. And I'm going to...
I thought nowadays that's why they're critiquing the media, because they say the media has
an agenda.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that are bad about you, and I'm going to tell them all.
Go right ahead. Call Barstool Radio. I'm sure they'll book you.
Please do.
But the one thing that I will say is I've never heard you criticize anybody one way or the other. You may criticize decisions, and I respect that. And that's why I think a lot of people will come on your show. You get more people than anybody I know, other than maybe Johnny Carson or somebody like that.
Well, you know what? I had Sheriff Joe Arpaio on.
Yeah.
I had Roger Stone on. You know, I Barstool Radio. Go listen to some
of
those.
I quit listening to you after you had Roger Stone on.
Madeleine Albright. Madeleine Albright. You know, boy, there have been controversial people on since the beginning. I mean, gosh, I had Elvis's doctor on. I had Effie Bailey on.
Yeah,
what was the guy with the Kennedy thing?
a lot of people involved in. Guy had the Secret Service man and Clint Hill.
Interesting.
Clint Hill and the guy who was handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot, Jim Lavelle.
Lavelle.
I mean, I had Sam Shepard's son on. Sam Shepard was the biggest story in Ohio. Guess they shouldn't have interviewed Sam. He was a murderer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what has happened to journalism where the editorial comedy people are attacking the journalists who don't take a stand, an opinion? I mean, shouldn't this be the other way around?
What has happened to America where we no longer, or the world for that matter, no longer can treat other people like their opinion matters and that they have a right to their opinion? He was basically saying you didn't have a right to interview him if you didn't ask him whether he killed.
That's the impression I got. Exactly. Yeah, I got that same impression.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? As far as I know, Robert Blake. I guess I can't have Robert. Let's get a list together of people I can't have on. I can't have Robert Blake on. I can't have O.J. Simpson on.
So the only people you're allowed to have on is Terry and Glenn.
Apparently. That's why you're here today.
We're boring.
Couldn't fill the time any better.
We're boring.
Can't have Mike Tyson on. Can't have... well, who else has been accused of all? Well, certainly can't have Bill Clinton on, can't have President Trump on, can't have any of these people on.
Yeah.
Can't have Joe Biden on. He's been accused of things. My word. Go ahead, caller.
Scott and everybody else in the room is Pastor Craig.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
Well, you can't have him on. He's controversial.
I guess so.
No, I just called that. I got to hand it to you, Scott. It's nice to know that there still is one journalist who doesn't let his opinion get involved in the interview. You know, like you said, that's what everybody's criticizing journalism today is because everybody's opinionated.
Yeah, you're right. Hello? Did I cut
just
him off?
Just because a person has committed a crime, that's no reason to stay away from the interview or try and do a gotcha piece on the interview. That doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? And the truth of the matter is, I mean, let's be frank about this. Also, journalism has lost a lot of credibility because we don't keep our word anymore when it's off the record. You know, I wasn't going... When I told Bill Cosby and his people that I was not going to do that because of the civil lawsuits, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Period.
Because your word is your word.
Right, and as I said, and I will criticize, and I don't think I'll ever have to criticize this, but I am not... They said when the lawsuits were over, he'd come back on.
Uh-huh.
If that doesn't happen, then I'll criticize that decision, because that was what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, at this point, they are still going on. I mean, it's right up there with the story about the interview is that he's being sued by these people.
We are at a time where your word is no longer your bond. People will say what they want to say to get done what they want to do, and... honesty be damned.
For their own agenda.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just hope I gave them something good, because if I'm a part of a comedy piece in Boston, I want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be Baba Wawa? That's what you want to be. I feel like I've entered the Baba Wawa stage.
Well, it's almost like when someone's taking a picture and they say, get my good side, you almost want to make sure you get something good, you know. So you can...
I don't have a good side, so I never say that.
Same here. Yeah.
The other day I heard something, it's totally off topic, but they say when somebody takes your picture, always take it from the left.
Really?
I've never heard that.
The best picture I've had taken of me.
Does it make me look thinner?
I don't know.
I need to get one from the left.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just heard that the other day from a professional photographer. Always take it from the left.
I don't think you could take one from the left, right, top, or bottom for me to be thinner.
I'm with you on that, Terry.
Well, it's the two rules I've learned from photographers over the years. Number one, shoot down on people up on animals, and shoot from the left.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Why? I have no idea.
And the one from... from taking a picture up on people, and you know that came from a professional.
Oh, Walt Tseng.
Yeah.
The Mr. Rogers photographer.
The best pictures I've ever had taken, one of the better recently, was taken down on me, and I think that's absolutely right. Now, one of them was the picture with me and Buddy, which I've used.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's probably the best picture that's been taken of me.
Buddy Hackett?
Yeah, hey. Buddy Hackett.
Boy, that is ironic that your dog's named Buddy. We won't get into that, why that's ironic, but that's a very interesting thing.
But that's a great picture, and it was kind of taken down on me. And Now, people look at the dog, not at me. That's the reason why that's important.
Right.
In any event, enough about this whole thing, but I do think the Marion Star, Mitch Hooper, did a tremendous job with that article.
He's been doing a great job.
I give Mitch tremendous credit. Ben Lanka, who's the editor over there.
Yeah.
I thank the Columbus Dispatch for running that story. I thank the USA Today and all points in between. Because you do a story because you want it to be heard or listened to, and they did that for me, so thank them.
I thought you did stories so that you could put another notch in your gun.
In my gun?
Well, you know, the
you notch your gun?
Yeah, the old...
what do I got, a musket?
Yeah.
The old...
give me some powder.
The old six shooters. They would notch the handle of their gun every time they killed somebody.
How about you put notches in like or your belt or like the what is it, door frame?
Well, that's for the height of your kids. I put notches in my belt just so that I can keep expanding.
Keep your belt on, Well, we've come to that portion of the program now.
I keep having to take mine to a blacksmith and have new hole or leathersmith.
You ought to do what they used to do on the Beverly Hillbilly. Just use a piece of rope.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
I used to.
Yeah.
When I was a lifeguard, I used a piece of rope because... quite frankly, it came off faster, and I had my swimming suit on underneath. And
It'll come about again.
That I'm the lifeguard?
You as a lifeguard. You'd float now, though.
I'd float a lot better.
You'd float a lot better. We've come to that point in the program where I take the first minutes of 10 minutes of last week's Glenn show with Dr. Feynman.
Oh, no.
And I tell people I have to deconstruct what happened.
Oh.
Here's what happened.
Dr. Feynman, if you're listening, you might turn it off.
Well,
now. See,
I never get to answer these questions with Dr. Feynman. Here's what happened, Terry. Follow me on this one.
Okay.
Last week on this show, because Dr. Feynman sometimes listens, okay, I said that John Adams does not get the credit. He's not seen like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. But really, John Adams was more influential in the start of this country because he was the main backer of George Washington becoming the general of the Revolutionary Army, and he was the guy who solely suggested that Thomas Jefferson write the Declaration of Independence. So if he had not done those two things, you would not have had a George Washington and certainly wouldn't have had a Thomas Jefferson. So that was why. And also, by the way, he is the only founding father of Madison, Jefferson, Washington, who did not own a slave. Did not own a slave, John Adams. So when people critique, which I think Dr. Feynman did, I forget what he critiqued him about, but it was something about that he was against, I'm going to say it, something civil liberties or civil rights or something in that nature. John Adams is the only one who didn't own a slave. Now, let's also talk about Thomas Jefferson's kids and Sally Hemings and what he did there. Let's also talk about George Washington and his picadillos.
Would you have asked that question if you had him on the air?
Not if he told me not to the night before. But no, I mean, I don't understand. Now, in his time, was he thought of like that? No, he wasn't. He was a blustery guy, no doubt about it.
And everybody owned slaves, so it was kind of mainstream.
Mainstream. Yeah. And he was probably thought of as an oddball for not. Yeah. And his wife, Abigail, far more influential than Martha Washington or Jefferson.
Betsy Rowe.
Well, no, who was... Jefferson didn't have a wife, I don't think. I think she died before office. But Abigail Adams, I mean, seriously, not to mention the fact of those founding fathers, which one produced another president? John Quincy Adams. John Adams did. So the fact, and by the way, that he lost, I think Dr. Feynman said this as well, that he lost re-election. He lost by one vote. back then they weren't doing popular votes.
It's still a loss, but...
Right, but it's not like Thomas Jefferson overwhelmed him. And the main point in that election was that basically Adams was kind of led into a war that we all... That always happens. And France, his you know, issues with France. Did he always make the right decision? No. But was having an affair with your slave a right decision on Thomas Jefferson's behalf? I don't think so. Was George Washington, he made some horrible financial decisions when he was out of office. Died fairly not well. Died fairly young. So I don't know. I just think John Adams... If nothing else, take his presidency out of it, take the fact that he lived longer than any of them out of it, just the fact that he was the one who was the major backer of George Washington to be the Revolutionary War general, and the fact that he was the one who said Jefferson needs to write this document, right there makes him far more influential than either one of them.
But when you hear people refer to, you never really hear him, excuse me, referred to a lot.
No, because Jefferson wrote it and Washington was the general.
Yeah.
So, no, you don't. But Adams put those in place. Yeah. He was the one who laid the groundwork so that could happen.
Well, as they say, he did the legwork. You know?
He did, and I think people don't know that or forget it.
Uh-huh.
But was he disliked? Oh, yes. He was a what do you call that? A shout-off. He was a pop-off.
Okay.
You know, he would get in arguments with people. He was in an argument with Thomas Jefferson for years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, what's your feeling on John Adams?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I really don't.
What are you laughing at, Glenn? Are the responses coming on?
Well, I'm just thinking, you asked him so bluntly. What do you think of John? Like, he was alive.
If I can ask about Bill Cosby today, I can ask about John Adams.
You know, we went to the pub and had a couple of...
What kind of guy was he?
That's kind of the question.
Yeah. What kind of guy was John Adams to hang around with?
I went over and had a couple of barbecues with him. And, you know,
nice guy.
Yeah, we broke bread together. And, you know,
after a few drinks, he was a little tough.
We discussed the King of England and how we were going to have this big tea party.
Exactly.
And what to do with our muskets during the Revolutionary War. And
you got to keep them oiled.
That's right.
Tell me about Adams' points in history.
You know, just... just briefly in school, I mean, just we talked about it, but unfortunately, even there, like I say, it wasn't a lot, just because the other ones always came to the forefront.
That's all. I don't think he gets his due.
You know, yeah. But I think as far as a person goes, he was very influential, like you said, in a lot of different things that people don't know about that kind of made the United States what it is today.
Well, I'm confused. On when we grade the presidents, are we strictly grading them on their presidency, mm-hmm. or are we grading them on what they did? Because most of them did things to become president.
Yeah.
Well, you'll note that I'm conspicuously quiet here.
Well, you're going to come in here.
Because the only thing I know about presidents back then and the founding fathers is what I've learned on Hamilton on TV.
But I mean, if nothing else, if John Adams was one of the main backers of Washington, and John Adams was the guy who said Jefferson needs to write the Declaration, if he did nothing else,
those two decisions right there basically shaped. I mean,
is he not the guy? To me, I mean, he is.
Yeah.
I'm not answering because...
Oh, because you got to go on with Dr. Fine next hour.
And really, truly, the only thing I know about our founding fathers is what I've seen on Broadway.
No, but I don't get... I think he's the least charismatic. You know, Washington was a big guy. He's a big, tall, powdered wig.
6'4",
yeah, he was
like
that type of guy. And then you got Jefferson, who was kind of... He was withdrawn.
Wasn't reserved, was he? I mean,
he was a reserved guy. He wasn't out getting in fights with people like Adams was.
When you were with Washington, did his teeth click?
You know, who was the best looking first lady?
When the guy hit him, he knocked his teeth. No,
you know, with that whole Sally Hemings bit, I never could have interviewed Jefferson on this show.
Absolutely.
Barstool Radio would have been awful. I would have never have been able to have him on. But don't you think that's fascinating, though, that he didn't own slaves, was the only one?
I did not know that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's an enlightened man of the time.
Yeah.
Or maybe maybe he didn't need slaves to take care of his area.
He had a pretty good estate. I mean, his wife, Abigail, clearly.
She wanted slaves?
No. Clearly the most influential first lady of the time. I mean, what do we know about Martha Washington, really? Except her name.
She didn't chop down a cherry tree.
I don't think George did. And then Mrs. Jefferson was pretty much Sally Hemings. So, you know,
But I do like Jefferson's Bible. Have you ever read it?
Oh, the atheistic Bible? Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I figured you'd like that. But he was... Jefferson, you know, when you write the Declaration of Independence, it's hard not to get publicity. When you are the general of the army that defeats the army that they said could not be defeated, it's hard not to get attention. Adams wasn't that, but Adams set that in place. He was like the coach.
Mm-hmm. What was Jefferson thinking when he put down, all men are created equal? And he knew darn well that he had slaves and other people had slaves.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Were they not people? I guess they were not people.
Well, it's just interesting to me because we look back at that time and all the people who are very progressive right now do think that statues should come down and things of that nature. John Adams, there wouldn't even be a question. John Adams, when they say, that's why I don't like when they go, well, everybody did it. John Adams didn't do it.
I'm kind of weird as a progressive. I don't give a rat's behind about whether you pull down a statue or not. I care whether you treat other people like they should be treated.
Well, that is the question. When you have somebody enslaved,
that is not treating them right.
So to you, John Adams would be the only fair...
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that I know that he didn't have slaves, I'd vote for him.
Right, I say, and you can rationalize and say, well, everybody of that time did, but they didn't.
No.
Adams didn't.
The rich people tended to, though.
But Adams had some dough.
Yeah.
He certainly could have had it.
Yeah.
And I just think it was his personality that hurt him. He was a pop-off.
Yeah.
And I think he said what...
Is that like what you get on a turkey?
Those little buttons, red buttons. He was. But you know what? Washington and Jefferson believed things that they never said because they weren't pop-offs. You know?
I'm sorry.
What do you call it? Big mouths? Because you weren't a big mouth. You knew. You know why? I'll tell you another reason Adams has been hurt. Because Adams wrote a diary every day of his life. We know exactly what John Adams felt.
Have you ever written a diary?
I wouldn't tell you if I did.
You have a really good thing you can put in it today.
I certainly can.
And some jack. Well,
was his name Jack? I don't remember Jack. That. But no, I mean, Terry, I think, something incorrect, Washington did not write a continuous diary. Jefferson, I think, burned all his diaries. So we have Adams's. We know everything he felt and everything he said. And it's hurt him, I think.
My memoir probably would hurt me, too, so you're not allowed to see it.
Can't interview you.
There's some dirty stuff in it.
Well, that's why I always have... we don't want to do that. I just don't want to read it for other purposes.
No, you wouldn't.
So what haven't we touched today? Oh, I wanted to get your thoughts, though, Terry, on George Turob's passing.
Oh, well, I've seen that. A Marian icon, you know, I mean, as far as...
And I said this morning, 73 years they were in business. Any other local business restaurant ever go 73 years?
I don't think so. I mean, that just... unbelievable record, you know.
I think that one will be there forever.
Yeah.
Time in memoriam.
Just a wonderful man, you know. I know he helped a lot of people and just touched a lot of lives. And then he went back and worked at the hospital.
Until he was 83.
Fed a lot of people, you know, cooked for a lot of people.
Always said, as long as George Turoff worked at the hospital, our hospital had the best food.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I just had seen George, and that's the fragility of life, I guess.
Isn't that amazing that as I get older, I have friends that die. And you may have just talked to them 3 or 4 days prior to that, and you say, well, how could he die? That's what happens.
But what was shocking to me was, I mean, he was up in the grocery store, and he was nothing. I mean...
Next week, when I'm not here, you two will be
saying
the same thing about Glenn.
I just talked to Glenn.
Someone must have found his memoir. No.
Yeah, took care of
my gosh. No. Yeah, and my wife killed
me. He's all done.
I don't know. It's just, you say 91 and you say that's no shock, but when you see somebody that healthy and going that strong.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that are living past 100 now, and more to come. Except I do understand that the pandemic lowered our health expectancy by a year and a half as a nation.
Okay.
So
very interesting.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, so that passing, I think, certainly should be honored and observed.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I hope the newspaper does something. And I know they're very busy and very short-staffed. But there's a guy.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's right up there with Martha Doubs and Madge Guthrie and Charlie Evers.
Yes, yes.
As a guy who really, when we talk about icons, he's there.
Well, the thing also that we should, I think we should pay attention to, is we should always treat people that do good for other people with reverence. And apparently he was a very kind man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what everybody says about it.
Yeah, that's what I heard on this morning when you were talking to
me. Good man. And those butterscotch cream pies.
Man. That sounds terrible.
No.
It sounds awfully rich.
You know what? I'd never really tried one, and then I was visiting somebody in the hospital, and they had some of those. They had like a slice that, you know, you could get, and I tried one. Unbelievable.
You know, call the neighbor.
He weighed 130 pounds
when he went in. Yeah. When he went out. He came out. It was great.
Great pie.
Oh.
So what else? Okay, we dispelled Dr. Feynman now on the John Adams thing.
Right.
Don't forget to call Dr. Feynman.
Yeah, we've done Bill Cosby.
Right.
We've done Vietnam War. We've remembered the great George Churoff. What else here haven't we...
Well, you didn't
cover the river on.
You didn't run Boston down very much, just because.
No, I like Boston.
I love Boston.
I hope that they just whatever comedy piece they do on me, I hope the number's correct.
Do you think he was a comedy?
I heard somebody laughing in the background,
well,
so I think there was.
I heard them talking. I thought it was kind of like me and you, with me talking over the top of you in the background.
Well, was he recording his show?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. What a show.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find him.
Any show that has me as a guest on it is not a show. Yeah. Boy, who? Was the Pope available today?
Till the goats come. When did
Barry Farber.
He wanted you so much to be on the show.
Yeah, I used to go on Barry Farber's show.
Who is Barry Farber?
He was the first conservative talk show host.
And I always thought he was chewing on something, because he always had that, well, you know, Scott.
Was that on the other station here in town?
No.
No, he was national.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look him up.
Barry Farber. He's since going on to his reward, but...
Okay.
He used to be on my show a lot, and then he would invite me on his show.
But he had these little quirky sayings that were so...
He's a little southern boy.
Yeah. He said something about that till the... His opinion would remain.
He said his opinions out on the porch till the goats let the goats eat him or something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, he just had these quirky little sayings that were
Barry Farber.
So
before
funny.
Rush, before Sean Hannity, there was Barry Farber. No, that's not Barry Farber.
Okay,
no.
All right.
No. Barry Farber is.
It says it's Barry Farber, but it's
well,
a different
Barry
Farber's Farber.
Son, I guess.
Yeah.
American entrepreneur, this guy is.
No,
so, this is American talk show host.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good guy. So many people have went, though, you know, and Dick Shafrath this week gone.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing I was going to kind of talk. Man,
really?
What a nice man that guy was. I had the privilege of hosting a show with him
did a show on WWGH, a weekly show.
Really?
Dick Shafrath, absolutely. Former Ohio State Buckeye, Cleveland Brown, state senator.
What a very, very nice man. I mean, just a...
The mule.
Yeah.
Huh.
He had wonderful Ohio State stories, man. I always had to tell him...
I did hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always told me a great Woody Hayes story every day. You know?
He was... anytime I called him to be a guest, he would drive over from Mansfield, and
really?
He would, oh, good man.
He ended up, he owned Mohican, right? Didn't he end up?
I think he did at one point.
The livery at Mohican.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Dick Shaffrath. Oh, it's been a horrible couple of days for people departing, but, you know, we all have to go at some point.
Yep. Someday I'm going to do a show as an atheist on what I believe about life after death, which I don't believe there is, but it's kind of changed my feeling about people passing. I think it's good that we all pass. I like the idea that I won't have to worry about answering for you or
you think
taking
people,
my dog out. And
do you think people really worry about what happens? See, I think they worry about the passing itself. Is it going to hurt?
I was thinking about that yesterday. I'm not, that's the whole thing. I don't mind the dying. I just don't want to be in pain when it happens.
What was Woody Allen's line? I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Yeah.
I thought, well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting run over by a truck, which would not take any time at all, would be ugly to look at.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad way to go if you get killed instantly. But
I don't know. I think that's the worry by most.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
right.
I think it's because what happens after is going to be good either way.
Now, 30% of the American population now is not atheistic, but agnostic. And I think a lot of us believe that way. We don't really care about what's
happening.
I
don't know if that's good. I don't know.
I don't either.
Well, I know I had a few different thoughts running through my head when I was in the hospital with COVID. I mean, a few of those thoughts came to my mind, you know. It was like, what's going to happen, you know? I mean,
it's scary to think that you will no longer have synapses that are firing, so you will no longer think. But it's just like when you were, before you were born, you didn't think.
Yeah, but you know, mine would be, in those last moments, would be, why didn't I ask Bill Cosby those questions? No.
We'll get you on Boston.
We'll get you on Boston, Boston Barstool.
Radio, Barstool.
No. Mine would be, what's tomorrow going to be? Who's going to be the next president? What's going to happen with the pandemic? It would be the curiosity that I would, that's what I would not like.
Yeah, and the things I won't like is that, the things I think about that I won't like is not being able to see my kids, not being able to see my puppy dog, not being able to see my wife.
Well, let's think, you know, John Adams, if you ever think, see, this is the divineness of life. How could this happen just coincidentally that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams die on the same day?
Mm-hmm.
The day is July the 4th. It is the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
And neither one was killed. And I don't even understand how that happens. But speaking of the last thing you think of before you die, you know, the last thing John Adams said is he was older, he was 90, than Jefferson. Jefferson was like in his mid-70s. But John Adams' last words, dying thought was, Jefferson survives. Now, nobody told him that Jefferson had died that morning. But that was what he thought as he was dying.
That sounds like a little bit of jealousy.
On
his, was he saying that Jefferson gets to live longer?
No. I think he was saying thank God.
Oh, okay.
Jefferson survives because he was Washington was dead and Madison was dead and they were the last.
Okay, all right. I'm looking up Barstool podcast and their rankings.
I hope they're big.
So far, I can't find it.
So what kind of guests they've had?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to find that on here. Anyway, I'm not finding much.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah. Podcasts are really becoming quite a thing, aren't they?
Well, that's what I've always said. If this station...
It just seems like anybody can have one.
It's the consistency and how good you do it. That's the mistake that people make.
Yeah.
They're not consistent, and they're more worried about... You cannot do a podcast totally based in Marion. Marion people will listen to it. But if you're doing a podcast, you better have some outside appeal. Now, you can do Marion things, but you better have something else, too.
Well, that's why you had... what's his name?
That's exactly right. I've always thought the mixture was best. I think the world's far smaller. You know, people know what's going on in Afghanistan. People know what's going on in Washington. People know what's going on in Hollywood. Why wouldn't you talk about it?
Exactly.
You know, as I get older, I care less. I don't really care what's going on in Hollywood. And I prove my ignorance by not knowing who those people are.
Yeah, but I think Hollywood has taken a dip.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think if Hollywood was still what it was 30 years ago, that would be different.
Well, let's make it 50 years ago, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think 30 years ago, they were still churning out some stuff in the 90s.
30 years ago, yeah, that would be 90s. Yeah, they were. That was the Star Wars time.
Well, it was also, you know, Back to the Future.
Yep.
It was
a lot of sci-fi.
E.T. and things of that nature, yep, were just in the 80s, just right before that. A lot of movies that have held up.
Mm. Yeah, all of which I liked. I don't like the newer movies very much, but the newer movies, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys can set me straight. I have not seen a trailer of a movie that I would go see. They're all killing people, cutting their throats, shooting, blowing their faces off. They're all killing. And maybe I'm just too much a...
That's what people want to see.
Hippie.
That are these Marvel Comics movies. Or
I just think
every
it's what...
I turn around, it's the Avengers.
They're all the same, though.
Yeah.
They're identical.
They're all written the same, you know. I mean...
But as long as people buy tickets, they're going to keep making them.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
I like the Ant-Man because it was so different. Yeah. If you're going to watch a super person...
Yeah.
Ant-Man is good.
Ant-Man.
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 No, this is Ant.
Ant-Man.
Like a little thing that walks on.
Little, okay.
When I would do my walk every day, I avoid stepping on ants. Do you avoid stepping on ants when you
I
walk?
I don't think about it.
I think about it all the time.
I don't purposely try to step on an ant.
If I see an ant walking on the sidewalk, I avoid it.
Is there an old saying about that? Step on an ant?
And you'll break your mother's back or something.
No.
That was a crack.
Step on a crack, break your mother's back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The world is in an interesting place with this pandemic. Do you think, Terry, quickly, we got about 4 minutes left here, that Governor DeWine yesterday saying, listen, I don't have the power to mandate masks anymore because of the legislature, but I'm telling you, schools, we're in a bad way here. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's weird that no Democrats are praising him today for that?
I did.
Yeah, Glenn did.
Yeah, I do. I think more of them... Should.
I mean, he's certainly not getting over with the people he needs to get over
with.
That's
right. That's right.
I really like the fact that our superintendent has decided to go that route.
He took a little bit of heat the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah, he did.
Like I'm a little cross.
Yeah.
He's smarter than most of those people that were in the audience, probably.
Well, no, see, I can't.
I know. I don't know
that statements like that are going to help this situation.
Oh, of course not. I wasn't intending to help this situation.
But isn't that what we all need to do at this point, is help this situation?
If I can talk directly to a person that disagrees with him, I'll be glad to talk to him civilly, and we'll discuss it. But unfortunately, I listened to what was going on at that, and it didn't sound like there was a lot of civil talk going
well,
on.
Well, I'll tell you what, that fight erupted because people thought they were going to be able to speak out, and they didn't get to, and so that brought on the anger.
That would be angering, I guess.
Because I don't know how many they said they got cut off. They had 3 minutes and cut them off.
But they had to fill out a paper beforehand. That's the procedure.
That is the procedure.
Right, and I'm not saying the school board was wrong, but I'm just saying that's what brought the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to go by the rules, but the law and order.
I think some of them got their weight.
Well, that's their problem.
Maybe they had to work. I don't know.
That's their problem.
Well,
sorry.
Oh, don't forget Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate today at 4:10, and then we got Trinity Baptist at
Terry going to do a 6:10. Show after my Progressive Life?
Yeah, you come right on, Terry, and we'll do a show.
What the heck?
Maybe you can get the people from Barstool Radio.
Yeah, there you go. They'll love you.
No, thank you.
They're very popular on this station.
Maybe if they do, they'll tell me ahead of time what I can ask them and what I can't ask them.
Well, I just, you know, I found that was interesting. Most people, I think, would have hung up on them.
Yeah, well, I thought you did the right thing the first time.
Well, but that wasn't a purposeful hang-up. I wanted them to know that we were on the air.
Yeah, and I've had people call in my show, and I didn't know whether they knew we were on the air, and so I asked them quickly, do you know we're on the air?
Yeah.
And most of the time they did, but... Sometimes they didn't.
That's showbiz.
Yeah. Now, the one, you know, the person that called in, and I said, do you know we're on the air? And he said, no, we are. And okay, I'll talk to you later. And I hung up on it. I'll tell you off the air who it was, but it really surprised him.
I bet it did. For Terry Tackett, Glenn Coble, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Glenn Coble with Dr. Fineman up next.
I'll leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, you know, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act. It's not an act. It's a physical act. I'm going to blow up your act. That's not my act. I really don't have an act.
Well, Porky, you know, I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It's that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why. During the first Jim Tressel press conference, when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes